an animal.
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
7:41 in the morning, and this is sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. By the way, before we go to Ham, congratulations to Jason Duffner. Jason Duffner's first win since his divorce. I think that's a hurdle you have to cross, Dave.
Might be.
Yeah.
Seems to.
When there's rumors that your ex-wife has slept with all of the PGA Tour, it's good to get another win under your belt.
I would think so.
So. Yeah. All right, at 7:41, is Ham ready? Okay. Brought to you by your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevy dealers. Good morning, Ham.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, man, buddy, what a crazy turn of events in Denver. But, man, all I can say is, you know what Peyton Manning's thinking right now?
What's he
thinking? Chico's going to kick my butt.
You know what? He had to feel so good about escaping. And by the way, that's 70% defense, 30% offense in that Denver win. And, well, I should say 70, 20, 10% stupid, because I'm all over Belichick this morning, Hemp. You got to kick a field goal on one of those fourth down plays.
Yeah, and, you know, same thing we went through with John Fox in the game with Denver. Remember, we had the ball down inside the 10 with 10 minutes to go, and we go forward on fourth down, get no points. We wound up losing by, I think, two. So, you know, in hindsight, yeah, it's a lot different. But you know, and I know, you start buying into the Tom Brady myth, and you keep thinking, oh, this guy's going to pull it out. And he almost did. And, you know, I kept thinking, the moment the kicker missed the extra point, I kept saying to myself, that's going to change the entire game. And it did. The whole game was played differently because the kicker misses an extra point in the first quarter.
Yeah, but you hate kickers. So how can you even judge?
Well, and again, when that happens, you know, I hate to say it, but it's almost like the defining play of the game. Everything has changed now. And you know, it would come out, you know, in the wash at the end. Hey, you know, it's you know, a 2-point conversion and go to overtime or, you know, bust. And they weren't able to get it done.
So, let me tell you something. If they get that 2-point conversion, there's no way the Patriots don't win in overtime. I don't
absolutely
care who gets the ball first,
the
it's over.
You know, the Patriot defense had made some adjustments, and they, you know, Denver was on fumes in the fourth quarter. They couldn't even get out of their own way. And they couldn't stop the Patriots. The Patriots were going up and down the field. So you're exactly right. But the defining play that basically affected that game more than any other was an extra point that was missed. It's unbelievable.
You know, I don't really have a problem with, I mean, when inside of 2 minutes they went for it on fourth down, the pass broken up in the end zone, I don't have a problem with that one. But with 6 minutes to go, and that fourth and one, that's the one I thought was odd. Because at that point, kick the field goal. You have plenty of time. You have 3 timeouts left. Why would you not? And Denver was struggling on offense. Why would you not do that? Plus, getting a yard against that defense is not that easy to do.
As they proved.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't like the play calling. You know, Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, and I was, you know, I was in my little group I watched the game with. I kept, you know, saying, and this guy thinks he's going to be a head coach again? You know, it was a horrible game plan on both sides of the ball. Hey, you got to give Denver a lot of credit. They outplayed the Patriots. They outcoached the Patriots for 3 quarters. And again, like I said, that was a game, I think it was something like 75% nationwide, the wagers were on New England. And, you know, everybody on Pro Football Weekly, you know, in the 2 games, New England was our overwhelming pick as a lock. So, I mean, you just got to tip the cap. And I've never been a great Peyton Manning fan, but you've got to say, wow, you know, to go through the season he's had. And Steve, you're exactly right. It was 75% defense. But for him to hang on and make enough, you know, plays to score 20 and it hold up. I mean, you know, again, it's an amazing, I hate to say Cinderella story, but it's not going to be quite so easy in the Super Bowl against that Carolina defense.
And we'll talk about that Carolina defense, that Carolina offense, and really a much more well-rounded team, which is why the Panthers are an early favorite here. But you got 2 weeks for Denver's defense to, you know, lick their wounds a little bit, a few bruises and bumps here and there, see if they can get healthy. And you got 2 weeks for Peyton Manning, who may not have the athletic skills, but is still a hell of a smart quarterback. I don't know, man. It's setting up as a great Super Bowl.
And what's he thinking? What's Peyton Manning thinking?
Chico's going to kick my butt.
We share a lot, actually. We've talked a lot about, you know, about what the goal is. You know, we talk about what the vision is and the direction we're heading with this vision. And, you know, we're a step away. You know, we're going to play a very good football team. We watched them play today, and they played tremendous.
Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers, Hall of Famer Dan Hampton is with us, as he is each and every Monday and Friday during football season. Of course, he's welcome here any other time. You know, one of the cool things that came out during the game was this notion that Ron Rivera has become a mentee, if you will, to John Madden, that the coach, John Madden, has been helping Rivera figure it out and get it going. And I think that's a cool story.
It's a fantastic story. And I got to tell you, I don't think there's any question that, you know, John Madden, for a guy that was, an NFL coach and then turned broadcaster, he's had an amazing effect on the league. And, of course, you know, the Madden games and all that kind of created this. But John Madden, I mean, there was something about the guy. He was special. And my time that I was able to see, and I think I've told you many times, you know, if I see him at the Hall of Fame or someplace, he always shakes his head and said, that was the greatest team he ever saw, that kind of thing. I mean, John Madden, I am so proud that he has kind of taken Chico under his wing, and it's really cool because, you know, John Madden has, he's been, the burning bush of pro football for 40 years. and how cool is that to be able to, to query and strategize and bounce ideas off of a guy like that. He's special, but you know, hey, you can't take anything away from Ron Rivera. This is an amazing moment, and I know this is kind of weird, but tomorrow night is the actual 30-year anniversary of us winning our Super Bowl, and right, we're all going to be together over at Soldier Field. Ram Chada is putting on a big party, and we're you know, I guess 40 plus guys are coming in, blah blah blah. How cool is that? That 30 years later, Ron Rivera will not be there tomorrow night, but in spirit, you know, he was a big part of our team 30 years ago, and now he's going to his own Super Bowl. So there's some really cool linkage here.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool for everybody that doubted this team all year long and said, "Wow, did you see their Powder Puff Girls schedule?" Well, let me tell you something. The Arizona Cardinals, they deserved to be there yesterday. They were great going into that game, and they were dominated. Dominated. That game wasn't close from kickoff.
That was the number one offense in all of football. You know, I know. We saw them in color right here, second week of the season, when they took the top off of our team then. So you're exactly right. And I don't know if you kind of put this together, but do you know that this could be the John Fox revisited bowl? Both of these teams were where he was once a head coach. Now, I don't know what that says about where he is now in Chicago, but, you know, Carolina and Denver, two places where he was for a while. They're going to be in the big one.
How do you explain the performance by Carson Palmer? I mean, how much of that was Carolina's defense?
Okay. Now, you know, Carolina, that's not a one-hit wonder. They led the league in turnovers. They Denver led in sacks and Carolina led in turnovers. So those are the two defenses you'll see in the Super Bowl. So there's a reason why week in, week out, we always talk about, you know, how important that is. But it's all about pressure. And Carson Palmer, who he had an amazing year. If Cam Newton didn't play the way he did this year, Carson Palmer would have been MVP. So, you know, that being said, how do you take a quarterback that had a great year like that and make him look foolish and make him look like a turnover machine, make him look Henry Burris bad in a championship game? Well, it's pressure. And I got to tell you, I mean, Carolina was relentless, not only in the front four, but they were blitzing, you know. Thomas Davis is a big loss. He broke his arm. But
he says he's going to play, though. Says he's going to play.
They had Arizona's number, and they knew what they needed to do. And that's something we always talk about. You know, you pressure quarterbacks, and this is what Denver's going to try to do against Cam Newton. Their only salvation is, you know, be able to get pressure on him and get him on the ground, because we saw yesterday, if you don't get him within 2.5-3 seconds, he will find somebody, and he will make you pay a price.
It's that defense and Cam Newton's offense that it's just hard to imagine Denver being able to pull that off. And I don't know. Look, there's no way they should have won that game yesterday. I'm excited about this Super Bowl. I think we have a very good game.
Well, there's a lot of really cool storylines, you know, with could this be the grand finale? You know, we all remember, what was it, 10, 12 years ago, John Elway, you know, he won his second Super Bowl and said, that's it, I'm gone. And, you know, nobody would blame Peyton Manning if indeed it was his final game and they find some way to win. But I got to tell you, this game opened at 3.5. Now it's at almost to 5. The public, you know, the last thing we saw yesterday was the Carolina Panthers mopping up the Arizona Cardinals. So that's what everybody remembers. Everybody's going to think that. And, you know, Denver's a really, really sound football team. Come on. This Carolina Panther, they are for real. Who was the guy screaming, I'm for real, I'm for real? That's what they've been doing all year. They're saying we're for real, and they're proving it week after week. And I got to tell you, you know, they're really good up the middle. They're two defensive tackles. Their middle linebacker on offense, you know, Cam, John Stewart, the running backs, he's better than you think he is. I'm just saying, this is a team that I don't know how you could go under the radar at 15-1. But they flew under the radar, and now we're just kind of getting a glimpse of how good they really are.
By the way, you mentioned Thomas Davis, the linebacker for Carolina, broke his arm yesterday. He says he's going to play in the Super Bowl.
He says he can pull it off.
We'll get it figured out.
This is the guy that had 3 ACLs, right?
Yeah, he's had 3 ACLs.
So what's a little broken arm?
Yeah, right.
Nothing. Yeah. By the way, buddy, I hate to do this to you, but the LA Super Bowl was 17 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
That's the kind of thing that happens to me all the time where I go, wasn't that 2 weeks ago? No, it was 10 years ago. Unbelievable. And congratulations to your Chicago Bears and happy anniversary. Hope you guys have a great party.
Oh, it'll be great. But like I said, the icing on the cake is one of our brothers is going back to the Super Bowl.
Pretty great. Awesome. Very cool story.
It's not really time to reflect. We have 2 weeks to play. We're going to play a team that we are completely unfamiliar with. There's going to be a lot of film to study. So I think, once again, just trying to kind of stay in the moment.
Hey, 40F's Peyton Manning, of course, and joining me on the phone now is Adam Hoge, WGN Football Insider. He actually does most of his reports from inside a hollowed-out football.
I know, it's a little cramped.
He's an actual football insider. Adam, how are you?
Good, and the football is properly inflated, though, so there's no issues there.
There's a scene in The Revenant where, does this spoil it? No, it doesn't spoil it for people. Where Leonardo DiCaprio is inside a bear.
Okay.
Oh, it's a horse?
I don't know.
I turned away.
He's trying to stay warm is what it
is. Oh, is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. And I would rather think of you inside a football than that scene ever again. I couldn't watch the rest of the movie. That doesn't make me a wimp, does it, Adam?
No. Although I don't know that I want to live inside a football.
This is a weird conversation.
It's the only way you can have the knowledge that you have, man. All right, so we had a great game and a complete blowout. Which one did you enjoy more?
The first game.
Yeah.
Which I was actually looking forward to the second game. I felt like I was on an island with that one because I was just kind of sick and tired of the whole Brady Manning thing. I was looking forward to seeing the Panthers and the Cardinals. I thought they've been clearly the two best teams in the NFC. I thought it would be a close game, and it obviously wasn't. I did think the Panthers would win, and you have to be impressed with how they played so far in their two playoff games. I know Seattle kind of came back last week, but the way they started against Seattle last week and the way they started against the Cardinals this week, I mean, they have to be the favorite going into the Super Bowl.
I would totally agree, and I think they are, Dave, aren't they? 3 or 4 points?
They are 4-point favorites, yes.
The game should have gone exactly, as Adam just said, exactly the opposite that they should have, that they actually went.
I think Friday morning I predicted a 27-21 overtime victory for Carolina.
Yeah, I think we all predicted close games in the second game and a blowout in the first game. Mm-hmm. So, Hamp and I disagree on this, Adam. I think you're more in line to where I am as well. Belichick's got to kick a field goal on one of those fourth downs. And regardless of the missed extra point in the first quarter, you got three quarters of the game left to fix that problem. And it can't come down to a fourth down where you're going for it because you've got one of the greatest kickers in the NFL and arguably in NFL history who's going to make that kick for you just to prove that he's that good. And now you're in a different game. How does he not kick on any of those fourth downs?
I totally agree with you, and especially the first one. This was the exact same situation John Fox was in against the Broncos this year. The Bears were down 8. I think there was like 10 minutes left. And remember, they were down towards the goal line. He went for it instead of kicking the field goal. And that ended up that kept them down 8. So then later in the quarter, they got down there. They ended up scoring the touchdown, but they had to go for 2, and they didn't get it. So then they didn't get to go to overtime. I kicked that field goal there with all that time left because you need to go for 2 anyway. It's the being down 8 part that makes me absolutely kick that field goal because, okay, now you're only down 5. That means all you have to do is get in the end zone and you are in the lead. And so and as we saw this thing play out yesterday, it also gives you more options because you kick the first field goal, make it, well, then maybe you feel better about taking the second field goal. Because now you're only down 2. And as it played out, you don't know what, things always play out differently based on the different situations, but the Patriots ended up getting the ball back. And they could have been down 2 in that situation. They might not necessarily been at the 50-yard line like they ended up being, but either way, whether you're at the 20 or the 50, you only have to get in the field goal range now. The entire situation is different. So I totally agree with you. Kick the field goal. Take the point. When you have the opportunity, I think they're just scared of the Broncos defense, and it is a good defense. But this is now twice this season where teams have chosen not to kick the field goal against the Broncos, and in both times, the Broncos ended up winning the football game.
And Patriots fans are killing Belichick on Twitter.
Well, they are. And by the way, Belichick has been on record in the past as saying that he's got confidence in Gostkowski from 60 yards.
Right.
So now here's another scenario is I was watching the way it unfolded at the end, and were you a little surprised, Adam? And I know that one of the Patriot players came up and made a play on Bradley Roby, who had the interception on the 2-point play and knocked the ball away, but it didn't look like they, and normally in that situation you're like telling a guy to slide an interception in the end zone, whatever, but on a 2-point play, Roby could have taken it the other way for 2 for Denver, and that would have essentially nullified any chance of losing on a field goal had New England been able to recover an onside kick. I haven't heard this talk. It was a weird deal, but that could have been the play that sealed it. As it turns out, the onside kick was bad, and they didn't have a chance, but kind of interesting.
Yeah, the only downside to him running with the ball there would
be hurt.
Well, you get hurt. But not only, I guess there's some crazy miraculous scenario where after he fumbled the football, which he ended up doing, the Patriots pick it up and run it back into the end zone. Not likely to happen. Would have been one of the greatest plays in NFL history, and maybe probably right up there with the immaculate reception, right? So not likely to happen. And like you said, starting this year, they changed this rule. He can return that back for 2 points, so that would have helped them.
It's a good point. It's a very good point. All right, let's do traffic, and then let's talk about these Carolina Panthers and the Super Bowl 2 weeks from yesterday. But we're all on pins and needles about the Pro Bowl coming up this weekend, aren't we?
Pro Bowl? Adam's been lobbying to go cover it for us, and we keep saying, you know what, it's maybe it's not.
No, it is in Hawaii still, isn't it?
Yeah, it's back in Hawaii.
Right.
They moved it for a year or so.
Right. All right, 8:46, Mary's here. Traffic trouble spots are what right now? Back with Adam Hogue, our football insider. Can anybody, Adam, question Carolina's right to be there after taking apart Arizona the way they did, regardless of their strength of schedule during the regular season?
No way. And you win 15 games, I don't care who you're playing. I mean, that's pretty impressive. You know what their odds were to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season?
No, that's a good question. What were they?
60-1.
How about that?
There were only 9 other teams that were bigger long shots. So this is, if you go back to August, it's certainly a surprise. But the way they've played this entire season, I mean, I really think they're the best team.
What's the feel on Peyton Manning's shoulder and ability to throw the football?
Well, I don't have very much confidence in him. The quarterback matchup in that game was very interesting because Brady was just bad. And I think that's a storyline that needs to be brought up, too, because Tom Brady was just not on point yesterday. And he admitted after the game that he felt like he was reading the Broncos' pass rush incorrectly, and that contributed to how much he was running around for his life. But Peyton Manning, he had some big misses. He missed at least one touchdown in the end zone, maybe two, depending on how you look at it. But he was, good enough. And I still think, and we've talked about this in the last few weeks, I still think he's the right guy out there just because of his experience, and he's going to be making the right calls at the line of scrimmage. And so he's certainly limited and at times looks bad, and some of those footballs don't look too pretty when they're in the air. But I think that he's still the right guy out there. But Cam Newton has the edge, right? If you're going to compare the quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, I'd go Cam Newton right now.
Yeah, it's hard not to, but I still think if you give Peyton Manning 2 weeks to game plan it, even against this defense, this Luke Kuechly kid is unbelievable.
He really
isn't
is.
He?
Yeah.
But, it'd almost be more fun just to watch the Denver defense and the Carolina defense, just see how they could beat up each other. But, you'd look at Carolina, it's a much more well-rounded team because you don't know how strong Peyton Manning is going to be. I hope it's not a blowout. I want a close game.
I think it'll be closer. I don't think the Broncos defense will allow the Panthers to jump out to a start like they have in the last two games. Although I probably would have said that about the Cardinals defense too. Kuechly reminds me a lot of Brian Urlacher, the way he plays and roams the middle of that defense. And with Ron Rivera in charge, it's a pretty similar defense to what the Bears did in the Urlacher era. And he's just a very impressive guy to watch. It'll be interesting to watch Thomas Davis the next 2 weeks because he's been a very good linebacker for them, too, next to Kuechly, and he broke his arm yesterday. And he vowed he was still going to play in the Super Bowl with a broken arm.
Apparently, he had surgery this morning. So
he's out?
Well,
or he's still going to try to play?
That's unclear. He had the surgery as soon as he could and hopes he can come back and play.
Three ACLs, and he's playing. The broken arm's not going to stop him.
Yeah, right.
They just put it in the club.
Tape an aspirin on it. Go.
Yeah. Yeah, wrap it up and let him go. What are you watching for in the next 2 weeks? It'll be a telltale sign one way or the other.
How about this? I just hope that it's not as crazy of a Super Bowl week as last year when all we were talking about was Deflategate and Marshawn Lynch talking to the media.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think, though, Thomas Davis will be a big one in terms of injuries. And, how about the local angle, too? There's a lot of local flavor in Chicago for the Carolina Panthers. You got Ron Rivera. You got, even though he's not going to play, Charles Tillman trying to get his first Super Bowl ring. And, he'll be front and center out there in San Francisco. Greg Olsen, of course, too, the former Bear. And even Jared Allen, if you want to throw in his short Bears career.
You know what I think is going to be a story? I think And for whatever reason, Cam Newton is a polarizing figure. The guy, I think, is a lot of fun to watch. I love his enthusiasm. I love the way maybe he's over the top in some of his celebrations, but I think the way that he was celebrating some of those moments with the fans.
It's good.
It's pretty cool.
I love when they give the ball to the little kids.
Yeah, wasn't that great?
Yeah.
And yet he gets ripped for doing that. But I think there's going to be a lot of attention. I mean, there's always attention on the quarterbacks, and people will be contrasting Peyton Manning and Cam Newton from a personality standpoint. Here's the distinguished elder statesman on one side, and then this brash
young
guy
kid
on the other side.
No question. And it drives me nuts how people just let the guy have fun.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it's not just him. It's across the league. I don't know if it's sort of the way the league attacks his stuff.
It's the NFL, right? The no fun league. That started years ago.
Right. And then I guess it carries over to the fans, but I don't let the guy have fun. I enjoy watching Cam Newton play. And I also think that he is unfairly still criticized for some of his mistakes that he made when he was a young kid,
which he's owned up to.
Right. And you know what? There's so many kids that in college, people forget, and even when we're watching college football sometimes, how young these guys are. And they're immature, and they're going to make mistakes from time to time. To me, it's how, once you get to the league, how do you handle yourself then? And if you're Johnny Manziel and you're still acting like a clown, then you deserve to be killed. But Cam Newton has gotten his life in order. He's been a model pro. He's someone that kids should be looking up to now, and I think they are.
Top of the game. He's earned a little celebration. You know who I get tired of? Are guys who are down by four touchdowns, who have a conditional sack, and then start pounding their chest, waiting for the cheers to rain down on them. Get back in the huddle, you clown.
Yeah, time and situation is a lot of it. You're right.
You should see me after a good show. I pound my chest. I go out and I go, let's get. I go out on Michigan Avenue. I start pounding my chest, and people go, what's wrong with that guy? Cross the street, avoid him. What are you writing about?
I'll be writing, actually, my second Bears offseason notebook will be coming out tomorrow morning. So you'll have that on WGNRadio.com/Bears. So plenty of Bears content there. And then I'm going to Mobile, Alabama in the morning for the Senior Bowl, where I can stock up on NFL draft information for the next 4 months. And so you'll be seeing some draft stuff on the website, too, this week.
Adam Hoge, where do we find your writings?
It's WGNRadio.com/Bears.